You're listening to Raven, the talk show made on Women Talk Radio.
You unstoppable woman, it's your time to shine. Boom, women, turn your life around. Girl, you got the power, there's no you can't achieve. Can't nobody stop you if you believe.
Welcome to WPR Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's designed for the boomer woman in mind and the men who love them. Yes, this show is about you, the woman over 40, just like me, who wants more out of life, and you guessed it. We are determined to get it, and we're going to make sure our men reach their dreams just like we do, and that's what this show is about. As you know, each week we bring you unstoppable women of power, and every now and then we sprinkle in a man of power too. So today I decided to bring you both in this very, very special segment. We call it Lunch with an Author. We're going to be speaking with two amazing authors, and they are a power couple. Their names are Pat and Ruth Williams, and they have this incredible book called How to Be Like Women of Power. In this book, Pat and Ruth have painted a dynamic picture of what it takes to be a woman of power through the lives of 21 very powerful women. So we're going to find out from them why these women are so powerful and so unstoppable. Now, these women are trailblazers, risk-takers, activists, and mavericks. They were compassionate, optimistic, ambitious, and dedicated, and they were driven, ladies, to challenge the status quo, to push steadfastly, something we always talk about, towards their goal to live their dream. I'm just thrilled about having them on. Let me tell you a little bit about Pat and his lovely wife, Ruth. Pat Williams is the senior vice president of the NBA Orlando Magic. So if you were sitting there saying, that name sounds familiar, that's it. Yes, he's the senior vice president of the NBA Orlando Magic. He is a popular motivational speaker, averaging over 150 appearances a year. Pat has been affiliated with the NBA teams in Chicago, Atlanta, Philadelphia, and currently the Orlando Magic. This is his, get this, 52nd book. I almost fainted when I seen that. I got to ask him about that toward the end of the show. Now, let's talk about his lovely wife, Ruth Williams. Ruth is a corporate trainer for the Franklin Covey Company. Ruth and Pat are parents of 19 children, including 14 adopted from four nations. They have been featured in such diverse publications as Sports Illustrated, Reader's Digest, Good Housekeeping, The Wall Street Journal, and Focus on the Family. I love that show, as well as all the major TV networks. You name them, they've been on them. Also, they had some assistants. Michael Mink, he's not with us today, but he is a freelance writer out of Southern California that assisted them with this book. So without further ado, Pat and Ruth Williams. Woo! Good morning. It's 8:30 here in Houston.
Well, good morning, Raven. It is 9:30 in Orlando, Florida.
Well, I had to have two coffees to get this interview together. I am not an early bird, not at all. How are you doing, Ruth? How are you doing, Pat?
We're fine. Nice to catch up with you, and glad we have a chance to visit.
This is pretty interesting because your publicist, Latrice, contacted me about this book, I believe, last year, and we just couldn't make it happen because of the two of your busy schedule, and mine seems to be getting busy these days. But I guess you could say we're movers and shakers, but finally, we were brought together.
Thanks for making it happen, Raven.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to be talking about your fantastic book, How to Be Like Women of Power, where you feature wisdom and advice to create your own destiny. But first, before we jump in this book, I want to go back and talk about the two of you. I mean, working together, creating a book like that, how was it for you?
Well, working together for Pat and I is very easy and also fun because we have some of the same interests. We're both very avid readers and interested in people who have succeeded in life and how they did it,
mm-hmm.
partly because we have wanted to train our own children and give them all the insights that they need to be successful. And so Pat, probably more than me, is just really a sponge. He reads about 7 books a week, and we're just constantly looking for examples and stories of people who have persevered and lived their dreams.
And Raven, this is the 9th book in a series. In 2001, working with the Health Communications, who for many, many years have published the popular Chicken Soup for the Soul series,
mm-hmm.
But I talked to them, and we wrote a book in 2001 called How to Be Like Mike.
I read that.
In-depth look at Michael Jordan after he had retired from the Bulls, and I poured about two-plus years into the research of that book. It did well, and then the publishers came to me and said, be thinking about a series. So the second book in the series was How to Be Like Jesus, and that was an unbelievable experience putting that book together.
Oh, I bet it was.
Then we did another book called How to Be Like Women of Influence, and the reason we did that one, the publisher explained to us that 85% of all the books purchased in this country are purchased by women, and that if you want to sell books, you better be writing them to women. We followed that one with a fourth book in the series, How to Be Like Rich DeVos, the owner of the Magic and the co-founder of the Amway
organization. Yes, absolutely.
Then the
He's
next
an amazing
one in the
man.
Series was How to Be Like Walt Disney. We moved to Orlando 23 years ago, and I became absolutely absorbed and riveted by the life of Walt Disney. The next book in the series was How to Be Like Jackie Robinson,
the
great baseball pioneer who has always been a hero of mine. Then the next one we did 3 years ago, How to Be Like Coach Wooden. John Wooden, the UCLA coaching legend, will be 99 in October, Raven.
Oh, my goodness.
Still doing well,
still
sharp.
Well.
Then I did a book called How to Be Like Women Athletes of Influence. We took the 30 most influential women athletes of history, did a book on them. And then this latest one that Ruth and I have done together, How to Be Like Women of Power. We've taken another group of women, examined their lives thoroughly. But the real mission here has been to try and figure out the life lessons that we can take from each one of these women and apply to our own lives.
And you're so right, Pat. You're so right. That's what it's all about when you have great books like what you guys have created and all these other books that you mentioned. It's us readers getting the life lessons that these leaders are passing on, or these ordinary people. Some are ordinary people that just became extraordinary. And not necessarily being their plan, but they just had a purpose, and they recognized their purpose was bigger than they could imagine. And they did the thing, as I call it, Pat and Ruth, they did the thing to have the power. That's what it takes.
It is. And another key thing for each of these women is that they focused on things that they were very passionate about.
Mm-hmm. Passion plays a huge part. We find
that
more and more. And speaking of passion, speaking with you yesterday, Ruth, you shared something with me about Pat, and that was that Pat loves a story. So in doing your research, if he mentioned something to someone and they had a story connected with it, he was tuned right into that.
Oh, he is. He collects stories everywhere that he goes, and he's been doing it for 40 years, and he literally writes them down. Many of them are on 3x5 cards or on any scrap of paper he can get a hold of.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be sitting in church on Sunday morning, and he'll hear a story or a joke from the pastor, and he'll suddenly you can see the light go on, and he's writing it down to use in a speech. And I do the same thing. When I hear something that connects to something that I'm speaking to people about, anytime you can give people an illustration and a story, they're likely to hang on your words.
Absolutely, for sure. How to Be Like Women of Power is what we're talking about today, and the authors are Pat and Ruth Williams. How to Be Like a Woman of Power, some of the women that they featured in this amazing book are like Rachel Ray, Barbara Jordan, let's see, oh my God, you had so many different ones, Katherine Graham, Condoleezza Rice, one of my favorite, Susie Orman, she's always on TV, we feel like Susie's just a friend, and I could, the list goes on, this is amazing, we're going to jump right into this, but I have a couple more questions for the two of you. As being a couple that you are, you know, and being able to work together, this is a question I want to ask the boomer man himself, and that is Pat. Share with us, Pat, how is it to be working side by side with your mate, especially since we're getting older and all of us are over 40, we're in our midlife. What does that mean to you?
Well, Ruth is a gifted woman. She has a degree from Louisiana State University, which I always say is one of the goodest colleges in America, Raven. She got her master's degree in psychology from Rollins College and is now working on her doctorate in organizational leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So I often kid Ruth that she's going to be educated beyond her intelligence, and she always fires right back at me. So we got a little something going here, Raven. Ruth mothers 19 children. Mm-hmm. She mothers, co-mothers 7 grandchildren. In addition to that, for many, many years, she's been a trainer with Franklin Covey, the very well-known business organization that deals with time management and organizational skills and how to use your Franklin Planner. And mm-hmm. Ruth teaches Stephen Covey's 7 Habits course of highly effective people. And she travels the country really doing an impactful job in corporate America. So I think Ruth's a superstar, and I'm very blessed to have her. Couldn't function without her.
That's wonderful. I guess, like you were saying earlier, Ruth, that works for you is that both of you enjoy reading. And so to put a book together like this and any of your future projects as well, it's a passion of yours, and it's a piece of cake because you're doing something, again, that you're passionate about and that you love. And since both of you have the same love, it makes an easy mix.
That's a great mix because mm-hmm. when we begin talking about different chapters of a book that we're putting together and begin looking at the different examples and stories that we have, we start talking and brainstorming and synergizing, and, you know, we just play off of each other. And I think that's what makes it come out so well in the end.
Absolutely.
Let me just say a quick word about reading. I'm just going to do a little preaching, if I may, Raven.
Okay.
I want to challenge all of your listeners today about the importance of reading. Our brains, our muscles, and those cranial muscles need exercise, mm-hmm. vigorous daily exercise, just as much as heart and lung muscles need exercise, and arm and leg muscles need to be worked out if they're going to be healthy. The best piece of equipment I know of to attach to that cranial muscle, that 7-pound instrument up in our heads there, the size of a cantaloupe, the best attachment is called a book. I encourage all of your readers to take reading seriously. It keeps your brain sharp. Computer screens and television screens and movie screens and video games will not do that. And I think that by reading an hour a day from a book, a good book that you're interested in, and in 1 week you'll be finished it. In 1 year, that's 52 books.
Uh-huh.
In 10 years, that's 520 books.
Wow.
By reading an hour a day.
Uh-huh.
And understand, Raven, that the average man upon finishing high school will not read another book the rest of his life. The Wall Street Journal
That's
reported
sad.
A few years ago that 59% of the homes in America
mm-hmm.
don't have one book in them, including a cookbook or the Bible.
Oh, my goodness. That
and
is
now author
sad.
Rick Warren tells us that over half the world is illiterate. One out of 7 Americans cannot read. And so we've got a real crisis in our country about the printed word. And the value and the impact of books, the wisdom of the ages is packed between the covers of books. So I think if nothing comes from this show today with your listeners, other than the fact that they understand the vital importance of reading and what it can mean to their life and what it can mean to their children and grandchildren, then our time together with you is worth it.
I absolutely 100% agree with everything you said, and I, like you, Pat, I feel like, you know, as especially grandparents, because most of us are grandparents that listen to the show, we should, you know, when we have the time with our grandchildren, we should read and get them interested in hearing the stories and reading to them. And then in return, they will learn to love reading as well. So I 100% agree.
Kids love to be read to, Raven.
Yes, they do.
They can't get enough. I mean, there's not one kid in the world who does not plead for more stories at bedtime. So it's awfully important that we take the time and read good books to our children from the time they come out of the womb.
You know what, Pat? I've got to thank you for sharing those statistics with us because that was definitely a rude awakening and very sad to hear those numbers.
Now, Raven, here's one other little thing I'll leave with you on
mm-hmm.
that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Studies are being done now, and I wrote a book 2 years ago called Read for Your Life
mm-hmm.
and did a whole section on the vital importance of reading and how it helps stave off the impact of dementia and Alzheimer's, which has become a real crisis in our country in the area of health.
Uh-huh.
But those who read, statistics show, have a better chance of holding off the ravages of the impact of those brain diseases. So when I say read for your life, it really is true.
Read for your life. It's a strong statement. Strong statement. Thank you. Well, you know, we're going to jump into the questions because this book, you know, there's just so much we want to know about it. But I do have one question to ask Ruth before we do. And that is, Ruth, share with us about these 19 wonderful children, which you say 14 are adopted?
Yes, they are.
From four nations?
Four different nations.
Interesting.
We have four children from South Korea, four from the Philippines, four from Brazil, and two from Romania, and then, you know, five good old American kids. And it has been both a joy and a challenge to mother 19 children. But I think one of the best things about it at this point in my life is that now they're all adults.
I was going to ask you about that. How many are at home?
None. Okay. We have an empty nest.
Wow.
As of 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, and I often kid with my audiences and say, you know, that was a real day of rejoicing. When the last one was out, a lot of parents go through empty nest syndrome. That was not the case with Pat and I, because one of our main goals in raising them was to get them to be independent and self-sufficient. And while some struggled a bit with that, they are all now independent, and it's wonderful because now we're friends. There are many parents out there, and it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, but many parents, as they're raising their children when they're young, try to be their friends. And that is not the time to be their friends. It's the time to be their parents. And if you do that well, then when they do become adults themselves, then you have the most wonderful friendship with them. And that's really one of the greatest blessing of having them, is that they are now friends.
My goodness, you need a gold star for that one, Ruth, because I agree. So many people try to be friends with the kids, their best friend.
Right.
And the kids have best friends, and they don't want the mom and dad to be their best friend. They want the mom and dad to be their mom and dad. They truly do, even though sometimes they may not like us for a moment. So that is very, very, very fantastic tip that you just shared with those of us that still may have children at home. Don't be their friend. Be their parent. There will be a time that they will want you to be there, both their parent and their friend.
Exactly.
And Raven, one other thing I want to point out to your listeners is your mission as parents is to get them ready to leave the house at age 18. We made it very clear to our children from the time they were very young that at 18 they were leaving. And that they were going in one of three directions. They were going to go to college, and we've helped them get through if they wanted to do that. Secondly, they go into the military at 18. That means the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, or the Marines, or the Coast Guard. Number three, they go into the workforce at 18. That's the third option. The fourth option of staying home, hanging on the couch, playing video games, and living off mom and dad
is no option.
That is no option. And so to reinforce that, in the last year of high school, we had constantly playing in the background on Muzak that wonderful old song called The Party's Over.
The party is over.
It played over and over and over again. And at 18, the curtain dropped, childhood ended, and they had joined the adult world. We've got a good friend. He's a counselor here. His name is Dwight Bain. And he told me not long ago that his number one counseling issue, adult children who will not leave home.
Ooh.
Dwight pointed out to me that there are 13 million adult children in America who have not left home. That's the equivalent of the entire population of the state of Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
And Dwight pointed out to me that most of those 13 million are males. So the question is, where have we gone wrong?
Yeah.
And Raven, I'll tell you one other thing. The thought of me at 18 living in my mother's house, I can't even fathom it to this day. I mean, at 18, I left home at 18. I haven't been back yet. No, I've been back to visit. I left my mother's home at 18, and it's still standing in Wilmington, Delaware. My mom passed away 3 years ago at age 92. But
wow.
I left home and have not returned. And that's the way God designed it.
I agree. You're right. But you know what? I think a lot of times, it may not even be the kids that want to stay there. Sometimes, Ruth, you might have input on this. I find that a lot of us adults are not ready to be empty nesters. You know, we've been taking care of people for so long, we kind of say, well, you know, you don't have to rush. Do you guys find that with anyone that you know of or anything?
Well, I totally agree with you, because I talk to women constantly in the classes that I teach and the speeches that I do, and there is this sadness that comes over many women when their babies are leaving home.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was excitement. Like, oh, here's the next stage of your life, and let's see what you're going to do with it, and cheerleading them out rather than pulling them back by the apron strings. But I think that one of the key reasons that many women do that is because they have not developed any other interest in their lives other than their children.
Mm-hmm. So they need to find what their passion and love is.
Exactly.
And purpose.
And, and I love my children, and I'm very passionate about my children, but they were not my entire life. And I think that I was a better mother because I had other interests in my life, and they were able to see that and develop their own interests. And if you want to be a mom at your passion, that's great. But I think you have to also be ready for the fact that one day they're going to leave. They need to leave. But you're right. There are many mothers who don't want to let go because that's their whole reason for existence. So when I heard that we were going to do this interview, I thought, oh, wow, here's a woman who is pushing other women to find their own road, blaze their own trail.
Mm-hmm.
And I just applaud you for doing that.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. It was, as I told you, put on my heart by God at the hospital waiting for my mom to get well, that this was, it was my time to give back, stop taking from the good old earth and give back. And I wasn't sure how to do it, Pat and Ruth, because I come from telemarketing. I'm like, I don't interview people. What do you mean? But it was put on my heart to do it, and I didn't question the why or the how. I just started doing my research and started doing it. So thank you. And like Zig Ziglar says at the best, if you help enough people get what they want, you get what you want. And little did I know that I would be interviewing people like yourself and the celebrities and all the experts and the great people. You mentioned Chicken Soup, Pat. I just interviewed Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen. People's books that I have purchased and people I've seen on TV, never did I know that I would have this privilege. So that just shows that when you do, go for your passion, go for your purpose, and don't question the why and how miracles happen.
Raven, speaking of miracles, I have just become a Chicken Soup for the Soul author myself.
Congratulations.
Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen 2 years ago invited me to do the basketball version of Chicken Soup. They've done over 200 Chicken Soup books now. They've sold collectively well over 100 million copies. Raven, it's the publishing phenomenon of the ages.
Mm-hmm.
But they never had done the basketball version, so.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
Chicken Soup for the Soul Inside Basketball is out. It has just been released. I have folded in there 116 stories that touch the heart and raise a goosebump or bring a tear. And Raven, not speaking of power and hanging in there, those two guys that you interviewed,
mm-hmm.
for years, they were speakers. They loved to tell stories,
mm-hmm.
and their friends kept saying, well, you ought to put them together in a book. So they did. Over 100 different publishers over the years turned them down. Were turned down over 100 times, if you can imagine.
Yeah, he shared that with us, and I thought that was incredible, you know.
But they hung in there. They mm-hmm. kept battling, and finally, a little publisher in South Florida agreed to print 20,000 copies of that first one, and the rest is publishing history. And so no matter what your dreams are, no matter what your goals are, you keep working, battle through the tough times. Just like these women of power, by the way, Raven, we never should have heard of any of them because they had so many obstacles and so many things going against them. But they just kept grinding, and they would not get discouraged. They kept battling and swinging away, and their dreams became reality because they just wouldn't quit.
Well, you know what? I want to jump into this book, so let's take a quick, like, half a second commercial. We're going to come back and talk about how to be like women of Power. That's the name of the book that we are talking about, How to Be Like Women of Power, Wisdom and Advice to Create Your Own Destiny. The authors, Pat and Ruth Williams, with the assistance of Michael Mink. Michael's not here with us today, but we're going to go ahead and talk to Pat and Ruth about this amazing book right after this commercial break. You're listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio, the show that's designed for the boomer women of mine and the men who love them. Each week we invite you to come on back, bring your friends, tell everyone this is the show to empower, uplift, and inspire you to walk your true purpose and journey in life. We'll be back with more from Pat and Ruth right after this commercial break.
Connect, learn, relax. This is the mission of the Professional Women's Center. Imagine receiving a monthly invitation to enjoy a meal, share a laugh, and engage in a beneficial conversation. Imagine making a connection which provides a business referral, a needed resource, or a blossoming friendship. Imagine learning how to use Facebook or LinkedIn, how to relieve stress, or how to declutter your home and life. Imagine joining the Professional Women's Center. Connect, learn, relax. This is the mission of the Professional Women's Center. To learn more about upcoming teleclasses or how to get your invitation to a meet and eat networking dining event, visit our website at www.thepwcinc.com or call today at 973-748-5100. That's 973-748-5100. The Professional Women's Center. Connect, learn, and relax to enable a more powerful you.
She came into the world as a ward of the state. Today, she is an accomplished star of film and television. She delivers a touching tribute to the amazing women who raised her and to the foster care system that made it possible. I was never meant to be raised by one mother, but by many. Victoria Rowell. What the critics are saying about the women who raised me. Rowell salutes her female mentors. The memoir, An Account of Rowell's Childhood in the Foster Care System and Beyond, is a testament to the women who guided her from birth. Miami Herald. The Women Who Raised Me, a memoir by Victoria Rowell. Now available in paperback from the Amistad Division on HarperCollins. Pick up a copy from your local bookstore or order from Amazon.com.
You're listening to Raven, the talk show.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Raven Blair Davis. I'm the host of the show, and you are tuned in to WPR, Women Power Talk Radio. You can catch us at www.womenpower-radio.com. Our celebrity interviews are on front. Click on archives, and there's tons and tons and tons of interviews to empower you. Remember, our motto here is life is just beginning, and the best is yet to come. So don't ever, ever let anyone tell you you can't do it, because you can. And speaking of can, we're going to talk about these women of power and find out how we can be just like them. And we're going to jump right into our questions with Pat and Ruth. Now, Pat Williams, again, if you're just joining us, is the Senior Vice President of the NBA Orlando Magic. He's also a motivational speaker. And Ruth Williams, his lovely wife, is a corporate trainer. The two of them together are a power couple, and they are parents of 19 children, including 14 adopted from four nations, which they just shared with us. Let's go ahead and jump into our questions. And my very first question to both of you is, where did inspiration come? Why did you write about women of power?
Well, it was actually at the invitation of the publisher. We had written that earlier book, How to Be Like Women of Influence, Raven, in which we featured some of the world's most famous women. From Golda Meir to Margaret Thatcher to Eleanor Roosevelt. That book came out a number of years ago, and it did well. And the publisher came to us and said, are there 20 more women you could feature here? And it took a while to figure out how to do it, but finally we decided to go with some more contemporary women in addition to women from the past. We debated long and hard over what to title the book, How to Be Like Women of Impact, How to Be Like Women of Influence, Book 2, and finally we hit upon this word power, and power can be connoted, Raven, in a negative way, hungry, run up people's backs, undermine people. You know, you could look at power in a number of different ways. But what we agreed on here is that women, just in many cases, just through the sheer power of their personality, of their drive, of their relentlessness, just the power to overcome obstacles. We did think that that was the appropriate word because these women, without that power within them, never would have made it.
Mm, you're so right. One of the things that we use on our show is being an unstoppable woman of power. And as I read these stories, Ruth, these women were unstoppable, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think probably my all-time favorite is J.K. Rowling. I am a big Harry Potter series fan.
Mm-hmm.
Read them all, listened to them on tape. And just what she went through from being a homeless mother, yet still having the creativity to begin this unbelievable story on a train ride herself, just amazing to me that she was able to stick with it and under insurmountable, seemingly insurmountable odds, you know, she was able to become one of the most powerful and wealthiest women in the world.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to read that one, but what are, if you said, the top three things that you think really stood out about her among the rest of them?
Tell them, Ruth. Go ahead.
Well, because I love reading and because she's an author,
mm-hmm.
She did what she loved. She actually began writing as a very young, small girl at age 6. She began to write little bitty stories and poems, et cetera, and just loved it. And she was a voracious reader, and she had favorite authors that she read. And so she began writing as a hobby because she loved it, and she read to further polish her craft of writing. And she just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it because she was, as I said earlier, doing what she was most passionate about.
Uh-huh.
And then the other thing about her and all these women is that once they discovered that passion, they would run through any hoops or circles of fire to make it happen.
Ooh, I like that. Okay.
That's what fueled them.
Uh-huh.
That's what drove them. That's what motivated them. It was not money.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. It was not money at all. Mm-hmm. It was because they did it because they loved it. That was a key thing about Lucille Ball also. And Lucille Ball did not become a famous, if you will, quote-unquote, actress until after age 40.
Mm. Isn't that something? We like that, being
yeah,
boomer women,
like
for sure.
She made it.
Mm-hmm.
And she loved acting as a child,
mm-hmm.
But her mother discouraged her. Everyone discouraged her. In fact, when she went for her first tryout, if you will, the person said, "You're a nice kid, but why don't you go back home to Montana and have a family?" Now, that's pretty discouraging.
Go back to Montana and have a family? Say
yeah,
what?
Yeah. But she said in her mind that I knew one day I would be an actress. So she started at the very bottom with
uh-huh.
the Ziegfeld Follies and tried to work her way up and discovered a talent for being funny.
Wow.
But it wasn't until after age 40 that she became the icon that we know her as today. So just the passion for what you do and the drive not to give up, I think, were the two key things for me.
Yeah, having that stick-to-itiveness.
Yes.
Just sticking at it, as Pat shared about Mark and Jack getting all those no's, but they kept sticking at it. And you hear that from time after time. In fact, Pat, I think I may have read or heard once that Michael Jordan, his coach in school, said, "You ain't going to make it, kid."
Well, actually, what happened, he was cut from the varsity team prior to the 10th grade. And Michael was devastated. Nobody that young had ever made the varsity team in the first place, but Michael thought he was going to do it. So when they posted the rosters and the lineup for the season around Thanksgiving, Michael was not there.
Mm-hmm.
He was devastated, spent the weekend mourning. His mother finally said to him, "Michael, you're going to have to make some decisions about what you're going to do here." So Michael recovered, played JV ball that year. As a 10th grader, and at the end of the year, by the way, Raven, he asked if he could go with the varsity to the tournament, and the coach said, "Only if you carry the uniforms in." So at the end of the 10th grade, Michael, who was to become the greatest player of all time, was the uniform carrier for the varsity. And now that summer, after the 10th grade, Michael did a very smart thing, Raven. He grew 6 inches. And the amazing thing about that, Michael's father, the late James Jordan, was barely 6 feet. His mother, Dolores, was an average-sized woman. Michael's brother, Larry, is about 5'9". And somehow Michael willed himself to grow 6 inches.
Isn't that amazing?
And the rest is history.
Wow.
But the thing I learned most about Michael, as I did all that research, was not only the greatest player of all time, Raven, he was the hardest working player of all time. And I kind of think the two are related, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Again, you know, it's that stick-to-itiveness, and it's just really that drive that you spoke about, Ruth, you know, and just never stopping, just keep going, just knowing that it's more, and doing everything you can to not just be good, because we all can be good, but the power is in being great and really going that extra mile to make yourself stand out.
I absolutely agree. Here's another thing that I think was very important about many of these women, and that was the emphasis on reading and education.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what Pat spoke about, read. Mm-hmm.
Read. Mm-hmm. Condoleezza Rice's parents encouraged her and made sure she got an education.
Mm-hmm.
Mary McLeod Bethune, you know, of course, devoted her life to education. And when you read about these women who, like you, wanted to give back, they learned how through education.
They sure do. I think I was sharing with you, you know, unfortunately, sometimes what comes along with age is that you kind of lose a little bit of your vision. And so, you know, it really saddens me that I can't read as much as I like to read, but I am so thankful for audiobooks because I can still hear really good. But this kid is getting these old eyes fixed really soon because it's nothing like curling up with a good book for sure. I want to talk about, Pat, real quickly. You spoke about research. So let's talk about how you selected these women and did your research. Can you share a little bit about
that? This is where Michael Mink comes in. Michael Mink is a freelance writer for Investor's Business Daily, which is a marvelous paper. They have a page every day called the Leaders and Success page.
Oh, I've got to get that.
It's a must read every day, as far as I'm concerned.
And where do you get this at?
Well, it's on the newsstands.
Okay.
It's kind of the poor man's Wall Street Journal, but I get it primarily for the right leaning editorial page.
Okay.
And it's arch conservatives. You know, we like that. However, the Leaders and Success page is a must-read. Anyway, Michael Mink works for them, and he's a researcher, and he's fascinated with this topic we're talking about. So Michael has been indispensable to us in these two books on women of influence and women of power. He studies that aspect. He's very, very knowledgeable in that field. So we leaned on him tremendously here, and we also leaned on the editors at Health Communications, our publishers. They had some strong feelings, and that's where Rachel Ray came in. That's where Susie Orman came in. You know, some of these current women who are very much on people's radar screen because they have huge followings. And I would just say this, Raven, if a handful of Susie Orman fans decided to buy this book, or if a bevy of Rachel Ray fans decided to say, you know, I'd like to buy that book, we are not complaining in any way. Do you understand?
We
will not protest or picket Barnes & Nobles or Borders.
At all. Speaking of this great book, we're going to make sure, and I will get with Latrie on this, that we get a banner to put on our site linking to where to get this book from, because I do think it's amazing. And what a perfect match for a Women Power show, right? How to be like women of power.
Well, as a matter of fact, Raven, we wrote this book just for you and your listeners.
I know Ruth shared with us some of the traits she thought were, you know, stood out among these women. What do you feel most of these women had as far as the same traits within them? What was the most common one?
Well, I think the first thing I would tell you, they had the ability to focus. They didn't get distracted. Focus is so important. If you want to have a successful life, you've got to figure out what you're good at, what you want in life, and then block out the distractions. It's almost like a racehorse with blinders on. You've got to really zone in and knock out all that extraneous stuff. So often in life, Raven, we start wandering and drifting on the rabbit trails. You know, we get off the main highway. And when you're meandering on the rabbit trails of life, you really aren't accomplishing anything, and you're not, there's no destination in your life. So clear-cut, definite goals are powerful motivating forces. And these women had these goals, and they were able to focus on them. And then the other thing that I would point out to you is that we never should have heard of any of these women, because when you really study their lives, they had so many obstacles, so many things going against them. They all should have just hung it up, probably about 20 times, and we wouldn't have heard of them. And our lives would not be enriched because of them. But and so to your listeners today who are going through some tough stuff, listen, these women of power went through a lot of stuff, bad stuff, hard stuff. But they just had this goal and this vision, and they were going to pole vault over the problems or tunnel through them or blast through them somehow or other. And So no matter what setbacks or heartaches you're facing, folks, everybody who's accomplished anything in life has gone through the same things. But you got to prevail. You got to keep persevering.
You got to prevail. You know, there's a purpose for us all. Like you said, we have to, first of all, if we're not sure what our purpose is or our passion is, we have to seek and find it. Wouldn't you agree, Ruth?
Absolutely. And it comes from having interest in doing things that you love to do. As we were raising our children, Pat used a term called the red thread, you know, finding that one thread of interest that would drive that child and give them a purpose and give them the goals, you know, to go forward. And so many kids today are not challenged in that way by their parents. And they're just kind of left to kind of find their way, and some fortunately do, but some don't, because they don't have the encouragement for parents to look at them and see what they're good at and kind of point them in that direction, or give them the chance to try out many things until they finally hit the thing that, you know, they go to bed thinking about it at night, they get up in the morning thinking about it, and that's what they want to do. And when kids have interests and goals, they're much less likely to get in trouble.
Yeah, that's why it's important. If we know that they love to dance, or if we know they love sports, we need to do all we can to put them in as many activities to bring that passion out.
Exactly.
Like you said, keeps them from being bored. It keeps them from wanting to go the wrong route.
Right.
Because they don't have anything to do. Sooner or later, sitting in front of TV playing games all day is not good anyway. But if you leave that with them, you're thinking, okay, well, the TV is kind of babysitting them stuff, and you don't know, boy, this is about ready to ruin their life and your life.
Exactly.
And so it's so sad. I like the video games. I thought it was cute, but now I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, drives me crazy when I see my grandson on one. Pat, why is Mary Kay Ash included in both your How to Be Like Women of Influence and this one, How to Be Like Women of Power?
Well, I'll be very truthful with you. After she made the first book, and deservedly so, as the entrepreneur of the century for women.
Yes.
The Mary Kay people based in Dallas, Texas, bought 75,000 copies of a special little booklet made up about Mary Kay. In other words, they took the Mary Kay chapter and put the cover around it, and they created this little 75,000 production for all the Mary Kay women. And we found that Mary Kay has a huge following around the world.
Oh, she does. She's such
an
admirer.
So I think the best way to say that to you, Raven, is that this was probably a commercial decision in some ways, that Mary Kay is that popular to this day. And if she would help spark interest in a second volume, she deserves to be in both of them.
For sure.
I'm awed by the Mary Kay Company and the fervor of Mary Kay people, you know, all those women around the world who are part of the organization. They are zealots for their cause. Boy, did they love their founder. Oh, they love that lady.
She's remarkable. I actually was in Mary Kay Cosmetics for a while, and I never had a chance to meet her. I got as far as the red jacket, but that was about it. It just
never
wasn't my passion.
Never got the pink Cadillac, huh?
Never got the pink Cadillac, but one of my favorite, most simple quotes by Mary Kay Ash is, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. That's a strong one. She's basically saying, hey, it's what you put in your mind. If you say I can't do it, you're right. You can't do it.
Well, at the end of the day, Raven, we are what we think about.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's vital that we think the right kind of thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Every great act, every university, every hospital founded, every missionary endeavor, it started as the thought, a tiny thought in the mind of some man or some woman, and then fleshed itself out as an action. And by the same token, every act of evil, every act of violence, every act of war or murder or robbery started the same way, as a thought in somebody's mind, and then fleshed itself out and became an action. So important that we really guard our thought life, because what we think about all day long ultimately it's going to become reality in our life.
You're listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio. Back with more with Pat and Ruth Williams right after this commercial break.
Help people and make money. With millions possibly losing homes in America, FundingFi.net is offering homeowners who are behind on their payments mortgage modification services. And we need professionals to find these homeowners, people with the highest integrity to work with banks to get homeowners affordable payments so they can stay in their homes, earn a substantial six-figure income. It's a win-win. Go to FundingFi.net or call toll-free 877-842-6331, extension 701. 877-842-6331, extension 701.
Have you ever listened to your favorite radio show and thought to yourself, wow, I like to do that, but where do I ever begin? Now you too can bring out the star in you and at the same time learn how to use your radio show or podcast to generate lots of revenue. For more information, call 281-920-0550 this very minute. With this exciting course, you'll get all of the exact steps to go from ground zero to launching your very first show. Whether you want to interview celebrities, business owners, or just celebrities in their chosen fields, you'll find creating a radio talk show is right for you. For more information, call 281-920-0550 to find out how, or log on to www.kitchentableradio.com. That's www.kitchentableradio.com.
It's time for our Boomer Diva Reporter.
Good morning, everybody. This is Susie Starkman from Empowered Lady Radio, and today I'm going to give you just a one-minute speech on the difference between life coaching and therapy. Now, a lot of people have asked me, Susie, what are you? I say, I'm a life coach. Well, isn't that just like a therapist? Are you a counselor? So I just want to tell you briefly what is the difference. Therapy traditionally deals with problems in the past. You know, what happened in your past to create your life that you are living now? Coaching, life coaching that is really solution-oriented, dealing with things in the future. What are you looking forward to? What is ahead of you? And I like to sum it up with an anecdote. A therapist and a life coach are walking down the street, and they come across a brick wall. Now, the therapist looks at the brick wall and scratches his head and said, jeez, what must have happened in my past for this brick wall to show up? How am I feeling about this brick wall being here? And the life coach will take a look at the brick wall and scratch his head and say, geez, this crazy wall's in my way of my goals, which is down the road, the other side of this brick wall. What am I going to do to come up with a plan to help me tear down this wall, brick by brick, so that I never have to deal with this brick wall again? And that, my friends, is the difference between a therapist and a life coach.
You're listening to Raven, the talk show mainly on Women Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to WPR Women Power Talk Radio. Hi, I appreciate you coming and listening to us once again. My name is Raven Blair Davis. I'm the host of the show. And today we are here talking about how to be like women of power. We're getting wisdom and advice to create our own destiny. And we're getting this from the authors themselves, Pat and Ruth Williams. Pat Williams, Senior Vice President of the NBA Orlando Magic and a dynamic motivational speaker, along with his lovely wife, Ruth Williams, who is a corporate trainer. She also is a dynamic speaker. They're going to let you know how to get in contact with them. We're going to go ahead and wrap up this awesome segment. I could talk to these two for hours. They're just incredible, amazing people. And I want to thank you two right now for donating your time and coming on empowering our women over 40 to go for their greatness. We appreciate that. Pat, I want to ask you about your book. It's a great book. I haven't had a chance to completely finish it, but let me say this. It's big print. Thank you. Thank your publishers for that. But in the How to Be Like Women of Power book, who would you say this book is for? And who will it appeal to?
Well, obviously, when we started on the project, Raven, we were writing to women of all ages, mm-hmm. and maybe with a little slant to the younger set. Mm-hmm. But as we got the book prepared, as we were working through it, as we kept proofing it, my reaction was, this is not just a women's book. I mean, these women touch all of us, male or female, all ages. Doesn't matter whether you're 17 or 87. There's something here that you're going to gain from everybody, from all of these women, and be able to apply to your lives. These life lessons that we gleaned from our writing, they're endless. They're timeless, Raven. These principles will be absolutely applicable 100 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
We're hopeful that this book will undated. In other words, this book, years and years from now, can still be an effective tool to inspire and motivate people.
And it will, Pat, because I love the fact that you give the history and the story behind these women of power, but also you lay out some specific steps on how to be like Susie Orman or how to be like, Danica Patrick. And I love that. That was just an incredible touch. Ruth, did you have anything to do with that?
Well, to be honest, no. But it is a great idea,
mm-hmm.
because it kind of sums up the main point and therefore would make this book an excellent book for women who have book clubs or men who have book clubs to really look at some of the common traits and the individual specific things these women did to get where they got in life.
In other words, what we've done, Raven, for people who haven't seen the book, we write the story, the chapter about the woman's biography,
mm-hmm.
but then at the end of the chapter, we literally, in bold black type, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I mean, here are the life lessons from Susie Orman, or the life lessons from Condoleezza Rice, or from Madeleine Albright, or whoever the woman. I mean, you can look at them crystal clear and see 5, 6, 7, 8 traits or qualities from each of these women that we can learn from. Makes it very practical and simple.
Yeah, and your overall qualities in your book, if I'm not mistaken, it started out with each chapter had, like, enthusiasm, optimistic, a naturalist.
Yeah.
How did you decide to come up with that?
Well, as we wrote each chapter, there seemed to be one word
that
jumped out.
Okay.
One word that was quality about each woman. For example, Rachel Ray, what do you think of? Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Barbara Jordan, from down your way, Raven, trailblazer.
Mm-hmm.
When you
first
think of Danica mm-hmm. Patrick racing in the Indianapolis 500 in these different races,
mm-hmm.
you got to think fearless. Katherine Graham, the longtime publisher of the Washington Post, risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
Lucille Ball, who Ruth talked about, perseverance. Madeleine Albright as Secretary of State, activism. Estee Lauder, when you think of her cosmetics, the word is quality. And Jane Addams, and by the way, anytime you're in Chicago, Raven,
mm-hmm.
you need to go by the Jane Addams House.
Okay.
She made such a difference in the lives of the underdog, for the down-and-out people. Well, that word that came to mind is compassion. Meg Whitman, collaboration. Shirley Chisholm, maverick. Martha Stewart, what do you think of? Perfectionist. Mary McLeod Bethune,
mm-hmm.
from right here near Daytona, Florida, education. Lorena Ochoa, the golfer from Mexico. We came up with the word service. She is a giving person. Condoleezza Rice, optimism. Susie Orman, financial responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Equality for Women, and then just Ida B. Wells, Barnett Courage, Mary Kay Ash, Dreammaker, Barbara Walters, Ambition, and Rachel Carson, Naturalist.
Naturalist.
So those words just seem to fit with each woman.
Thanks for laying that out for us, and it really did. And we appreciate both you and Ruth and Michael in putting such a fantastic book. I want to close with both of you sharing a little bit about what you do and how people can find out more about you. And also, is there going to be any more how-to be books?
First of all, any women's groups listening today, Raven, book Ruth to speak. She will put on an absolute brilliant performance. And you can go to our website. It's patwilliamsmotivate.com, patwilliamsmotivate.com. And at this point, Raven, I've got numbers of books in the pipeline. Ruth and I have just finished a book on marriage that will be out this fall.
Oh, my goodness.
Called Happy Spouse, Happy House. We write about the four keys to having the best marriage ever, blessing, edifying, sharing, and touching. And we've just finished that manuscript. It'll be out in the fall. No more How to Be Like books in the pipeline at this moment. We've done 9 of them.
Okay.
But to your listeners unfamiliar with the series, those 9 books will keep them reading
for
at
quite
least 6 months. And Ruth, you get the final word.
Well, yes, I do keynote speeches for groups. I just need a topic, and, of course, the topic about women and marriage and children and leadership, time management, goal setting, all of those are topics that I love to speak about.
Well, we're going to make sure, Ruth, that we're going to have them calling you, girl, booking you for sure. You guys call her, book her. Go check out that website. And, again, that website is?
PatWilliamsMotivate.com.
All righty. Final tips, words of wisdom to our women of power and the men who love them. Pat, from you first.
Figure out what you love to do, ladies. What is your passion? What are your dreams? Push your fears aside. Go for it with everything you've got. Keep yourself physically fit, mentally sharp by reading. Be good to people. Enjoy your life. Have fun along the way. Battle through the tough times. Don't get discouraged. And persevere and drive to the finish line so that when you come to the end of your life, you can say, I got my money's worth. I went sliding into heaven, not tiptoeing in. I went sliding into heaven. And as Zig Ziglar says, yelling and screaming, wow, what a ride.
Ooh, I love that. Thank you, Pat. Boy, I'm inspired now. I might just hang up this phone and start writing me a book.
You should.
And Ruth, and final words from you.
Well, my goodness, after that.
I know.
I would say ditto, 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 and I would just add one other thing, and that is have faith in God and teach that faith to your children and live it.
That was a very important thing you said, have faith in God. And teach it to your children, for sure. This has been an incredible interview. I want to thank you both again. And I want to close out by asking Pat one final question, because I know your passion about people reading and overcoming illiteracy. And I'm looking in the back of your book, and it says, Read for Your Life, 11 Ways to Transform Your Life with Books. Pat, what inspired you to put this in the back of your book?
Well, I grew up in a reading home. My mother and dad were readers, so I grew up in that environment. At 7, I fell in love with baseball, and I wanted to know everything about it, and so that's where reading really had a purpose in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful lesson right there to people who don't read or youngsters who fight it. Well, you find out what they're interested in, whether it's space exploration or how to be a French chef or the history of the Houston Astros, or I don't care. Once that passion hits, then there's a desire to learn about it. And you can't read in areas that you have no interest in. You're just not going to do it. So I think the pursuit of life triggers the desire to read. And set aside time every day. You don't have to read 60 straight minutes, but you can read 30 times a day for 2 minutes. But if you'll do that for a week, at the end of 1 week, you've read a book, not War and Peace, but you've finished a book. And so it's a daily discipline, knowing full well that your brain is getting exercised. You go periods of time without reading, Raven, your brain turns into mush because it's getting no workout. We've loved being with you, Raven. I'm glad we've had a good time together, and women and men alike will enjoy this book. It's called How to Be Like Women of Power, and HCI is the publisher. It's in bookstores now in the self-improvement section, and people can also visit our website, patwilliamsmotivate.com. Another wonderful way to order books, of course, is amazon.com, and we encourage people just to go to Amazon, and they'll deliver the book right to you.
Thank you. You have been listening to Women Power Talk Radio with our special segment we do from time to time called Lunch with an Author. And our authors are Pat Williams, Senior Vice President of NBA Orlando Magic and super dynamic motivational speaker, along with his wife, who's also a super dynamic motivational speaker, Ruth Williams, and she's a corporate trainer. Their book, How to Be Like Women of Power, Wisdom, and Advice to Create Your Own Destiny. They have other books, How to Be Like Jesus, How to Be Like Rich DeVos, How to Be Like Women of Influence, How to Be Like Mike, How to Be Like Coach Wooden, How to Be Like Jackie Robinson, and How to Be Like Women Athletes of Influence, and so much more. Please check them out at www.patwilliamsmotivate.com. Go pick up this book. It's amazing, How to Be Like Women of Power. We'll see you next week. Until then, this is Raven Blair Davis. God bless and much prosperity to you.
You unstoppable woman, it's your time to shine. Woman,